Good morning. I'm DJ Magic.
And I'm DJ Hexmob.
And we're here with...
Carl Scholin, head of school.
Woo! So, Mr. Scholin, could you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. This is my eighth year at SAS. I actually came here from... my wife and I came here from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I was the head at Salem Academy, which is the all-girls school for 9 years, and where our daughters graduated. And I love Salem Academy. It's a great school. They did a great job with my kids. But, boy, when I got here and saw what we were doing here at SAS, I couldn't help but wish that I had had my daughters at SAS years before. I just love the way we do school here. But prior to Salem Academy, I had been at Virginia Episcopal School for 20 years and was fortunate enough to do a lot of different things. I taught, I coached football, basketball, baseball, taught some math courses, and then became the director of admissions for a number of years, and then the director of advancement, ran the capital campaign, then was a dean of students for a while. I tell people they just kept moving me around so they could find something I could actually do. but it was just great experience for me, and my wife encouraged me to go to graduate school and get a graduate degree so that maybe I could be a head of school someday. And so I actually started a graduate program at Hollins College, Hollins University at the time, and then moved to Teachers College at Columbia University and finished my master's degree there. And so, and right after that is when I left to go to Salem Academy. But even before I went to VES to work as a teacher and a coach, I was a student at VES. I went away to boarding school. There was a family in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I grew up, that just saw that I needed to do something other than sort of continue to flounder in public school where I was, and they offered to pay for me to go away to boarding school. And I took them up on the offer, and so I repeated my 10th grade year to go away to boarding school, and spent 3 years at Virginia Episcopal School as a student, and then went off to Virginia Military Institute and got my degree there, and went back and started teaching at VES for the next 20 years. So I guess that's my whole story. I can tell you where I was born too. It's in Baltimore, so if that helps. So there you go.
You've done a lot in your lifetime.
Oh yeah.
Well, I've been around for a long time. I'm a little long in the tooth right now, so.
Okay, so how do you feel like about being a headmaster?
Yeah, it's a great job because I get to have my hands in all the pots, which is kind of fun. And I guess nobody can tell you to sort of leave them alone. But I think, to be candid, the first year that I taught, they way overmatched me in terms of my ability to do the work. I was teaching Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Trig, Accounting, Statistics, and Economics, and I was coaching three sports and doing dorm duty every other night. And it was a crazy schedule. And I think what I discovered more than anything else is that the world is not worse off that I'm not in the classroom. I wasn't a terrible teacher, but I wasn't exactly the best. And I've seen great teaching, and I've seen a lot of great teaching here. And so I know what great teaching looks like. And so it seemed to make sense for me to move into some of the other areas of schoolwork, and that's why I started doing admissions and development work. And then at some point, I got to the point where I said, you know what, I loved all these jobs. They were all fun. The dean of students, I had a great time doing that. And what's the one job I can do where I can have my hands in all those pots? And being a head of school was the one. So, yeah.
Have you always wanted to be a headmaster?
No. And I wasn't even sure that I wanted to be an educator. In fact, I went to VMI, I think I mentioned that at one point. And when I was at Virginia Military Institute, at the time that I was a student there, we had what was called a mandatory commission. So if VMI had wanted me to take a commission, I would have been an officer in the Army.
Oh, wow.
And at the time that I was in school, it was 1985, which is a long time ago for a lot of folks listening. In 1985, a bill had passed through Congress. It was called Grand Rudman Hollings, and it was a budget deficit bill that said, you know what, we just have too many second lieutenants, which is what I would have been. And so they were looking for ways to sort of shrink the number of second lieutenants that were coming out of ROTC programs across the country. And my field artillery officer, which is what I would have done, I would have been a field artillery officer at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. But he came to me and he said, Sholin, is there anything you'd rather do than be in the service? And I said, Major Madden, that sounds like a trick question. And so, you know, I wasn't sure exactly how to answer that. And he said, no, I'm serious. I really would love to hear what your plans are if you weren't going to go into service. And I said, well, I'd like to go back and teach my old high school for a few years. And really the reason I wanted to do it is the school was so good to me, and I just felt like I wanted to give back. And but I didn't anticipate that I was going to do it for the rest of my life. But I said that I'd like to go back and do that, and he said that is almost as noble a profession as being in the service. And so he just basically released me to do that. And I didn't have to take a mandatory commission. I was able to go back and teach, and then I just got into it. And even though I don't think I was terribly good at the teaching part, I loved it. I loved being around the students. I loved just the energy. I love the idea that as I saw people that were getting older and older, they were staying young because they got to be around teenagers. And and I just thought, you know, there's something about that that just sort of keeps you forever young. I mean, I turned 60 this summer, last summer, and I still feel like I'm 18. So I don't look like I'm 18, but I feel like I'm 18. So, yeah.
Now, since you're the head of school, I know you definitely have some goals and, like, key values for St. Andrew Suwanee. So, like, what are your kind of priorities for the future as St. Andrew Suwanee starts to grow even more for the years to come?
Yeah, I think one of the things I discovered when I got here was that that the mission of the school is the mission that I bought into from day one, and my job was to not mess it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, you know, as a head of school, sometimes you come in and you see a whole lot of things need to be changed, and you go ahead and start making some changes. But in terms of the ethos of this place, the kind of place that is, I think, loving and encouraging and welcoming, those are things that I wanted to be super careful not to mess with, because that's part of what makes SAS, I think, just so beautiful and wonderful. And so, you know, you had to figure out what are the pieces of that are critical to maintaining, because, you know, there are always things that need to change. I mean, you know, when a lot of the teachers that have been here a long time first got here, there wasn't technology. You know, believe me, some of the folks have been here a long enough time that there probably weren't a lot of computers on campus. Certainly the internet wasn't a thing. Nobody had phones. And so, you know, the world has changed a lot around us. And you have to figure out how to manage those changes, make sure that we're preparing you all for your future, not our past. I think that's a really important piece. And so to do that, we need to stay relevant, but at the same time, make sure we don't lose the essence of who we are as a school. And I think, you know, the You Belong Here piece, I think, is something that's just really a big part of what SAS is. And I think that's one of the things I just want to make sure we never got away from. And also make it a school that's available to, you know, families that couldn't otherwise sort of access it. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, that's, you know, there's some financial implications to that, you know, we always, year after year, we're working on trying to manage through those pieces. But then I think it's also, and I think one of the things I want us to continue to focus on that's becoming harder and harder because of the world that we're living in, and that is, I want this to be a place where people can disagree and disagree vehemently and still love each other. Mm-hmm. And that is a very hard thing to do if you're paying attention to what's going on out there. You know, you drive off this campus and there's just not a lot of love, and there's not, and it feels like, you know, if you disagree with somebody, they have to be the enemy, and that is really not the way. Well, it's certainly not scriptural. It's not the way God wants us to love and care for one another, and it's absolutely not something that I want on this campus. And so, you know, I want people to sort of pull into these gates and feel like, you know, I'm in a safe space, and I'm in a safe space to disagree with, you know, even my good friends. And I, you know, we had a session last year for the Headmaster's Corner where I think the History Club was in here, and it was great because, you know, there were a lot of the History Club members were at that meeting. And I could tell they didn't agree with each other on a lot of things, and yet they were all willing to be in the same room, have those discussions, have those disagreements, and then at the end, you know, shake hands, hug, and move on to something else. Because the truth is, we agree on a lot more than we disagree on, and we got to be very careful not to let the things that we disagree on be the things that separate us. And that's hard because it's not being modeled out there in the world very well. So
you should definitely become a preacher. That was
very
great.
Well said.
My mom said, you know, you should never become a preacher, Carl. So you know, she knew too much. So, yeah.
So do you have any, like, advice for any new students that are planning on coming here and it's their first day and they're kind of, like, intimidated by the whole structure and how we work? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I would tell them, first and foremost, you will fit in. And when I say that, it may not be – you may not have any idea how you're going to fit in because you don't even really know what you're looking for. But you will find it here. You will fit in. You will be loved. You'll be challenged, as you know you should be, and you should want to be. And you'll be cared for. And you're gonna have a great relationship with the teachers, the adults around here on campus, and with the other students. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is. You're gonna find your people here. You know, I absolutely believe that. And if you don't in the short term, just hang in there because I promise you will eventually find your people. This is a place that I think is just filled with loving, caring, welcoming people. And they're excited to have you, whoever you are. They're excited to have you. So.
Well, Mr. Scholin, yes. I'm really glad that you came and talked to us today. Yeah. I think this campus is a great community. I love the people here. I love all my friends I've made. Yeah.
That's great.
But thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Yes,
thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Alex, who's behind the scenes and you can't hear Alex, but Alex is right there. So is Charlie. Oh, I'm sorry.
And Big Chuck. Big Chuck is also in the background.
So, yeah. Thanks for having me. This has been fun.
For support.